take you to the candy shop. I'll let you lick the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop. Keep on going till you hit the spot.
Is this the Dan Band?
This is the Dan Band.
I thought, when I heard Dan Band, I anticipated something like kind of more country vibe.
Country?
Yeah, this is like a sexy, this is a sexy Dan.
No,
like
you've
a,
seen them, dude. This is from, they're the band that does all the covers on Old School and The Hangover.
Yeah.
Like okay. They do all the wedding.
Guys.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy that like gets up and dances all sexy and everything. Like I said, he's a sexy Dan. Like, but sexy in a goofy way. All right, I'm excited about this Dan Band now. Good all for right. you, Dan Band.
Let's
also
do...
thank you everybody for clearing up what happened last night on that Fielder's Choice by Altuve, and that there had been a hit in the.
He wanted to replace the runner first.
Yeah, and I'm admittedly bad at flipping between games, and I can't watch with a split screen. Don't even try to tell me to watch with a split screen. My attention is already too divided as it is.
You have to be really dialed in.
So flipping back and forth with this stuff, and then reading. I read a recap this morning that was probably done by somebody on very little sleep. So now I get it.
Caller number 8 to win tickets to see the Dan Band May 25th at the House of Blues. Caller 8 into the contest line 832-430-2946. Again, caller 8 832-430-2946. We have a station announcement coming up at the top of the hour. The first chance to buy 2018 Rose tickets, sign up for our email club because we are sending out a special announcement on the Rose along with a code to get tickets. All you have to do, go to the new sportsradio610.com and sign up for our weekly email. So we continue to react to the Rockets' horror last night in a Game 3 thrashing at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. Also, Johnny Manziel. I was pleasantly surprised to see this weekend that he signed with Hamilton. And part of it is just listening to McClain for the last couple of months on our show discuss how June Jones desperately wanted him to play in Hamilton. And I feel like it's the best thing for Manziel to go to a place. It's kind of like sometimes when you're looking for jobs, it's maybe better to go to a place that you are wanted more as opposed to necessarily the place with a higher salary or benefits. Or
you know, the only thing that worried me about that whole situation, if you wanted Johnny Manziel to sign somebody someplace, I was thinking kind of if you go back to All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise, young cocky player in this football powerhouse in Western PA, is this stud defensive back, weirdly. And he early in the recruiting process gives a stiff arm to this small school. Cause he's like, yes. Who the hell are you guys? Who the hell are you guys? I don't want anything to do with you. And then all of a sudden, after he has a run-in with a coach and gets kicked off the team, the little guy isn't there for him anymore. So I wondered, okay, are you going to keep giving Hamilton the stiff arm? And at some point there, Hamilton, you're going to like wait for the NFL. And then Hamilton's going to say, screw you. Maybe it's good that he signed with Hamilton when he did. Because if he had tried to hold out much longer, they might've just said, all right, the offer's retracted.
Tebow did not go to the CFL. Now, I guess now you could say, hey, Tebow's doing so well in Double-A that maybe we'll see him in the majors at some point in the next year or
Wait,
so.
Is he having a good stretch again?
He's having a good stretch,
I thought he was horrendous to start off.
He was horrendous, but I think as of the latest count, I'll give you the stats here shortly, but Tebow is doing a pretty nice job in Double-A. But Tebow did not ever make this move that Manziel is doing. And while I question a bunch of things about Manziel, like the story that we had, a week or two ago about whatever happened in Humble when he ended up in that hospital, I will root for him from a pure football standpoint and just an interest standpoint to play well in the CFL because I would check out those games.
Right this moment in Double-A Birmingham, Tebow is batting .240, slugging .405, OPS of .728.
I think so he's had a good stretch.
He's probably had a good stretch.
I need to find the splits.
He started off, if he's got an OPS of .728, I know he was just in the basement for the first month or so. So he's had a pretty good stretch here.
He's had a resurgence.
There you go, Tebow. Maybe somebody figures, hey, you're only 30 years old and you've got at least 2 years to develop before you're old. And then we'll see what happens.
Yes. I get the sense that you guys are frustrated with my Rockets' reaction to Game 3. And part of it, which is totally fair, but part of my struggle this morning, and this is part of the struggle I have overall sometimes, is when you're on the air at 6 o'clock after a game the night before, sometimes it kind of takes you time to figure out exactly what you think. You know what I mean? I might come in here and tomorrow and have a totally different feeling on things, just with more time to kind of sleep on it and think about it and all that. Part of my reluctance to go crazy about last night's performance, even though obviously it was not nearly good enough, is if you look at the conference finals games, period, across the NBA, in Rockets Warriors and with Celtics Cavs, we have yet to have a competitive game
right
in the fourth quarter.
And,
I mean,
and the ratings, the weird thing is, imagine what the ratings would be if they were competitive games.
I know.
Because the NBA, people are actually watching the NBA. The NBA is like, it's seemingly the one thing in television that's actually improving in ratings over the years. This is as like, this sport, I bet the NBA has more kids watching on Reddit than any other sport. Like, because it just seems like the sport that the young people are the most clued into. So like, a lot of these kids aren't even available to be watching on television, but in the television ratings are increasing and the games have not been good. So the question, I guess, becomes if the games weren't going to be good and competitive between the Rockets, this is what I could have been okay with. I could have been okay if it was just a matter of, hey, the Warriors had a bunch of threes falling and the Rockets didn't.
Well, let's go with this. The Rockets played this team 3 years ago and they played them in Oracle Arena three different times. Two of those games were really competitive games down to the wire, including game two, where the Rockets were a failed getting a jump shot into the air from possibly stealing game two.
Right.
Now, that Warriors team, as Landry has pointed out infinite times, that team did not have Kevin Durant. But, you know, that team, that was their first championship team. That wasn't even the 73-win team. But that Rockets team, I thought, acquitted itself pretty well in Oracle Arena. And that was a... And it was the reverse situation where the Rockets lost two close road games, came home, and got blown out in basically this same fashion in game three.
No,
so it's kind of a role reversal situation.
And it's a very, very good point, and I'm glad people remember to bring it up, that this Warriors team is different from the first couple of years that they were in the championship games, because it just, you look at that team, you look at that roster, you look at the guys out on the floor, and... If they win fewer than three NBA championships with this cast of characters, if they're able to retain Klay Thompson and whatnot, like, I would say Steve Kerr is a pathetic coach. I almost like, what? Well, does Steve Kerr even deserve any credit if they don't win three championships?
They're probably going to win three.
I feel like you'd have to say if they only win, and I'm talking about with, the first one doesn't count. I'm talking about with Durant.
Oh, with Durant. Okay.
With Durant.
So they got one.
They've won one, but I honestly feel like if you don't win three, Steve Kerr needs to be relegated to like, well, he's a nice coach. He's a nice coach.
Okay.
What are you going to, you know, Phil Jackson
nice
probably would have won 7 or 8.
So
Riley would have won 28.
You would treat Steve Kerr like a glorified Barry Switzer of sorts, except that there is no Jimmy Johnson in this circumstance because Mark Jackson is not Jimmy Johnson.
No, he's not a Switzer because a Switzer was, they'd already won championships when Switzer took over.
So it's a unique situation.
And he coasted into that last one.
They did not win big before Steve Kerr got there.
Right.
That's a fact.
But
that's
at the same, I'm giving Kerr credit for the first championship, but I almost can't give Kerr credit for multiple championships henceforth unless he gets, I can't give him a lot of credit unless he wins multiple championships.
Yeah.
If he only won one championship with this crew.
Oh, that would be a disgrace.
It would be disgraceful.
A disgrace.
Like, I would have to say, like, his coaching career would be considered a mediocre one at best, except that he does have that first championship.
All right, here's the other thing I'm struggling with along the same exact lines.
I'm joking about the mediocre. But.
All right, I don't know what you would have thought. If we were doing this show, let's say, 24 hours ago, and we were discussing, we were previewing Game 3 and previewing Game 4, what I would have said, Seth, this weekend is, here's my mentality on the two road games coming off game two. My thought was the Rockets' job in those two games would have been make a game really close in the fourth quarter in the final minutes and find a way to steal that game. That was my expectation level going in. So they still have the opportunity to do exactly what I said, find a way to make game four close and find a way to steal it. So if they do that, I would feel stupid for crushing them on this morning specifically.
Yeah.
And so part of my issue is I'm looking at this spread, and yes, again, it's horrible and awful and yada, yada, yada to lose by 41 points. I get that. But you could also ask, what's the difference between them losing 41 versus losing by, let's say, 13 points? Now, maybe that does make a difference to people. Maybe they say, hey, with this kind of team, a team that won 65 games, with the MVP, with Chris Paul, with Mike D'Antoni, that there is a difference, and they feel like they want to push this team, and I can respect that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, and I understand it, but I don't think you're letting yourself just sit back and think about what you saw, and think about, for one, okay, like, because I'm like, I can break it down to you with the numbers, and I can show you the sloppiness with the turnovers. I can show you just the lack of contested shots, all these different things that allowed the Warriors to do what they're going to do. And the Warriors are a great team. But you got to just remember that the Rockets are a very, very, very good basketball team. It's not... 41 points is the worst playoff loss they've ever had in franchise history. This is not a simple, like, oh, they just, you know, they had a bad night. It was a horrendous, awful loss. And part of it is just that, yeah, okay, the Warriors are good. But to sit back, I guess, yeah, then maybe you are just, you know what you need to do is start agreeing with Paul Gallant. Like, and just be a fatalist about the NBA and be like, ah, what's anything ever matter anyway? Like, why do I even bother paying attention?
Well, because my thought process.
Yeah.
My thought process also is, if this was an elimination game, then yes. If this was an elimination game, you would see a totally different version of me this morning. But part of my feeling is like, okay, if you lose by 41, what's the difference? You lose by 10, you lose by 20, you lose by 30, you lose by 41. What's the difference? Ultimately, it was not a competitive game in the fourth quarter.
The difference is that you were never competitive from the first quarter on. You were down by double digits.
But they were competitive until James Harden sat. In the first quarter.
Yeah.
They were competitive in the game.
Let's remember, you're supposed to have a better bench than the Warriors.
I know.
Again, over and over and over again. The Rockets have a better bench than the Warriors. Everybody's forgetting it. The Rockets have a better bench than the Warriors.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, the bench. And then, damn, you go out there and damn freaking Kevin Looney. Looney is crushing you. Oh,
yes.
Well, can you really expect to make layups versus Looney? I mean, who on earth? This is the vaunted Warriors. This is the vaunted Warriors with Looney, McGee, Pachulia. Hey, Pachulia gets 3 minutes in a game. How are you going to stack up against that? How are you going to beat Pachulia? How are you going to beat Sean Livingston? Nick Young. I mean, gosh, Nick Young, Mike. That these are the guys we're talking about. Nick freaking Young. How did Nick Young do last night?
He was a plus 20.
Hey, look.
I told Landry before the series I was worried about Nick Young.
The Rockets have a much better bench than the Warriors, but when Nick Young gets rolling and Kevin Looney is on fire and Bell is doing what he does, what are you going to do against those guys? There's no excuse for it. Now, your problem is you're thinking too hard about the big picture and like, well, what's it all mean and everything. The fact is they really didn't show up ready for a fight last night. They got slugged in the jaw and they had no recourse.
I agree with that.
So you get angry about it and you change it, and hopefully in 48 hours they do better.
The inconsistency.
Like, this is your problem. If you were to go down, like, is this going to be your pep talk? Is this going to be your pep talk before Wednesday? Like, hey guys.
Tuesday.
Before Tuesday. Hey guys, you know, gosh. you know, it was a rough loss the other night, but you are dealing with an historical force here. And like, realistically, is anybody going to beat the Warriors anyway?
Seth,
let's go out and give it the old college try.
You are dealing with the pep talk master. The pep talk master.
You better get your ass moving and get working on your own attitude.
Here's my resume. Game 6, ALCS, pumped up the Astros. They won the ALCS, and they went on to win the World Series. I pumped up the Rockets for Game 2,
won
Game 2.
Wait a second. You pumped up the Astros?
I remember being here and
wondering why there was a pall in the studio and why you and Landry were crying in your Cheerios.
We did a pep talk before Game 6
with
Verlander on the mound against Luis Severino, and it ended up in a fortuitous fashion.
So I had to give you tough love and force you to give a pep talk.
Possibly.
And then you did that.
But
I need you to talk yourself into the Rockets having some kind of hope before Tuesday. My answer to you is this. You know the difference between... You asked what the... No, this isn't a pep talk. Turn off the stupid Jock Rocks and that child molesting piece of crap that wrote it. Wait, was that the one? Or was that a different one?
I don't know.
All right.
Gary Glitter.
Okay, this is the problem. You just asked a question that when you look back on it, when you listen back to that segment, you're going to ask, what the hell was I thinking? You asked, okay, is there a difference between losing by 41 points or losing by 12 points?
Yes.
For one, yes, there's a difference, and it's quite stark. But two... Should you be any less disgusted, though? I guess this would be the question. If they had lost by 12, Mike, are you going to come in here and be like, well, what are you going to do? It's the Warriors. What are you going to do? It's the Warriors. I'll turn your logic back around on you. Is losing by 12, would somehow you're still excusing missed layups, missed points in the paint, non-contested shots, turnovers?
Well, for them to get to that point, they would have had to make those shots and not turn the ball over nearly as much. But the Warriors still may have been too much to overcome. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, do we overreact too much to these individual playoff games? And the other thing I would like to know, who is more to blame for Game 1 and Game 3? Is it James Harden or is it Chris Paul? We will evaluate a CBS Sports Minute in 60 seconds, and we will announce our Sports Radio 610 roast coming up at 7 o'clock.